I'm a little different. We're all different. I'm a little different about some. I enjoy studying sometimes some complex issues, and sometimes I don't fully understand them. I ask God to help me to do that. And I think what I hear today, I'll be pretty blunt about it, and I'm not accusing Brother Swindle of this. I'm afraid some of our people are not studying like they ought to, and they become complacent with where they're at. I'm not complacent where I'm at. I'm constantly trying to study and to help God to help me in the things that I need to speak about. And I'm going to talk about one of them tonight. I'm afraid if we're not careful, many of the fundamental principles we have, if time lasts long enough, are going to continue to erode. I was telling some of the brethren some things that I hear seemingly nearly every few days of a deviation of what I think is in doctrine among our people, and I'm not happy with that. One of the things that I've studied, and I don't know if I preached it here or not, but I'm going to refer to it tonight, is Article 9 of our Articles of Faith, which is the doctrine of election. I found out a few years ago our people don't like to talk about that. Article 9 concerning election, and what we believe as Baptists is what's the term election means choice. And in election, what we mean by that is that God has made choice of some things He's going to do. But He's not made choice of what we're going to do. But I do believe that the God in eternity, and I'm going to lead up to what I want to talk about, God in eternity made choice of what He was going to do. Now, what's God chosen He's going to do? And we're not talking about Steve be saved and somebody over here be lost. I ain't talking about that. But He did make choice, I believe, and before the world was ever created in Genesis, before the world was ever created, God foreknew what Adam was going to do before He told him not to do it. Now, somebody asked me to explain that one day, and I said, I can't. But God knew, and I believe, and one of the brothers made mention of something, before the world was ever created, the council halls of glory, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit met in council. Acts 2:23 will prove that, I think, when Peter preached the sermon on the day of Pentecost. And it was decided at that council meeting that the second person of the Godhead, the Word, or Jesus, would be made flesh and live on this earth, be born of a virgin, live on this earth some 33 years, and then die for the sins of all mankind and fashion what we refer to as a plan of redemption. Do I believe that was predestinated? I most certainly do. The plan was predestinated. I believe God has determined before the world was ever created in this plan that He would save all penitent believers. He'd save every one of them that would come to Him by repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also believe, according to Romans 8, that it says that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does that mean? We're going to have a body one day just like Jesus has. A body likened unto Him. So I do believe those things, but I do not believe that He has predetermined what you and I are going to do. Now, somebody tried to tell me one day God didn't foreknow what we were going to do. I don't believe that. I believe He knows all things. One of our pastors in Trousdale County told me a couple of years ago that God wouldn't send the Spirit to a person that is lost if God knew who's going to be saved, who's going to be lost. He said God wouldn't send the Spirit to the lost people. I said, why? He said, He wouldn't waste His time with them. Well, I don't believe that. I believe everybody has an equal opportunity through the gospel, and that the Holy Spirit of God is sent to each and every man, woman, boy, girl. And if people die and go to hell, it's their fault. So those things have, again, that's what I refer to as conditional election. It's conditional upon repentance and faith, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want to bring that up to what we want to talk about tonight. We talked about election being a choice. I believe God was able to foresee a people that are in Christ Jesus. Now, you've got to get in Christ Jesus to be in this people. I got some friends say you've got to be baptized into Christ. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about people repenting and believing to be a child of God. They're in Christ. We were elected in Christ, the Bible tells us, I believe, in 1 Peter 1, that we should be holy without blemish in love, that'll bring us up to foreordination. Foreordination, and that's going to touch on what I'm going to talk about tonight, is a decree made beforehand. And we find that we were ordained unto adoption. Adoption is through Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. That's my subject tonight, after hearing all that, is adoption. I'm going to talk about spiritual adoption, and we're going to talk about the adoption of the body. The body has not been adopted as of yet. The body will be adopted at the end of time. But I was looking for a fairly simple definition for adoption. And adoption is a form of law by which one not naturally a child is legally made a child and an heir. In my lifetime, where some of us live, they had a Baptist orphans home across from Maple Grove No. 2 Missionary Baptist Church. And people that were orphans, kids, and I knew some of them in school, they would go there and they would live there at that place. And in that sense, they were orphans at that place unless they were adopted. But we find the scripture to say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, he says in there, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Then it says in verse 14, and I'm skipping for the sake of time, it talks about the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise when we get born again. That it is, and it says, "It's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." So we find that that this adoption that I'm talking about is the adoption that occurs in time, not in eternity. I do believe that foreordination, a separate subject, occurred in eternity, but we find that the adoption happens in time. I believe that people are predestinated to go to heaven when they repent and believe while they live here on the face of the earth. At that point in time, we are predetermined. Our ticket is punched, and we're going to go to heaven when this life is over. So I'm glad that we have that. Excuse me, I'm glad that we can know that too. Now let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. It says in that scripture, I could quote it, but I want to read it, be sure. It says, "But as many as received him," back up to verse 11, it says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jews as a people rejected Christ. And there are the people today that are dyed in the wool Jews. A statement was made by the president of the Southern Baptist Convention years ago, and I agreed with him on this. He said that an Orthodox Jew couldn't be saved. And from that, and I think it was misconstrued, but an Orthodox Jew does not believe that Jesus Christ has ever came. You can't be saved. The scriptures in Hebrews said that we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we've got to believe who he is. It goes beyond philosophical or with the head belief, but the belief has come with the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how we get saved, is by the hearing. And I believe that the Holy Spirit of God accompanies that word and goes in that heart and touches or pierces that heart. I had this to happen to me. If you've been saved, you have too. I do believe at that point, from my own experience, you make a choice not to be saved, but whether to seek after God or to turn him off. And many times, people will turn him off. So for as many as received, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. So as many as receive him, he gives power to become the sons of God. It's by faith in Christ. And let me touch on this. I believe that faith in Christ has saved every individual all the way down through time. I believe there's one plan of redemption. I don't believe there's two or three. Talked with a man a while back, said the plan changed on the day of Pentecost. We had a discussion about that. I asked him something about the thief on the cross, and he got a little frustrated at me. And I said, The plan was completed by your view and the New Testament come into existence on the death of Christ. He said, yes. I said, well, who died first, Jesus or that thief on the cross? Which one died first? Which plan did that thief die under? He didn't want to answer that question because Jesus was already dead. And by that view, this thief was in the new dispensation, which I don't believe that plan, and did not have baptism. So that thief died and went to hell, I told him. And when Jesus told him that today you'd be with me in paradise, from what your view is, he lied to him. Now, he didn't like that too well, but that's the truth of it. And I believe there's one plan for every period of time. So for as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. We're adopted as children when we believe by faith on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not something that we have merited. Salvation by grace is not something that we deserve or something we ought to have give to us, but God by grace through faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God. So it's something God has given to the human family. Let's look at Galatians 4, 5, and 6, if I can get there. Galatians 4, 5, and 6 tells us to redeem them, talking about those that were born again, or those that were under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. So that's where the adoption takes place, when it redeems. What's the word redeem mean? It means to buy back. I used to love to, when I was little, they gave S&H green stamps, and like they did up here, and we'd save them, and I'd take them, stick them, lick that book, and go down to Madison down there and buy something that didn't hold up usually, but I'd go buy something, and that was redeeming that. And that's what redeem means, is to buy back. And it says in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So God is our Father, isn't He? We can talk to Him. We can cry to Him. We can communicate with Him because He is our God, and we're His sons, or His daughters, you might say. It says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're heirs through Jesus Christ. Think about an heir, and think about an estate, and think about how the inheritance works. And we have a great inheritance today that's been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to move along real quickly and not worry your patience too much tonight. Let's look at Romans 8 and 15. Romans 8 and 15 and see what that says. Romans 8 and 15 tells us, again, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I've just recited that. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When I was saved on August 13th, 1973, neither the pastor or the helper had to tell me I was saved. The Holy Spirit of God that night took the word, and I knew it was lost. Now, I didn't, Brother Steve, I didn't understand the mechanics of all of it. I knew that something wasn't good between me and God. I had this condemned feeling, this fear of death, this fear of dying. They gave an invitation for people to come and seek God. And at 10:35 that evening, I found Him there that evening. As the preacher said, I heard today, I didn't hear no bells or whistles or no lights go off or sirens, but I just had peace that the Bible says goes beyond understanding. Now, I had that, and that exists today, and I'm glad that it does. It says, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So that adoption that I've been talking about takes place in time. Titus 3 and 7 tells us that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life, I might tell Brother Dewey back here, I'm going to meet you in Bowling Green downtown at 12 o'clock. Well, I might not make that appointment. The hope the Bible talks about, when you look up the definition, the word hope means expectation to receive. So I might miss that appointment, but I'm expecting, because of God's Holy Spirit and the seal upon my heart, to be in heaven one day when this life is over. I'm expecting that, and I'm confident of that. So that word hope don't mean like, well, I hope so. I hope it don't rain. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something more permanent, and that is eternal. Next to that we want to cover before we quit is the adoption of the body itself. And the body that we have one day after a while, the body that we'll have will be just like Jesus had. We're going to come forth one day at the resurrection. The Bible teaches us, the scripture says, to marvel not, for the hour is coming, or the time is coming, when all that are in the graves will hear his voice. I'm paraphrasing this. Those that have done good, those that are saved, will come into the resurrection of life. And those that have done evil, the resurrection of damnation, I believe. And there's going to be a general resurrection of the just and the unjust. I haven't bought these six resurrections that some advocate. They have the right to do that. They won't advocate that. But I believe there'll be one resurrection. And I believe we'll come forth. And I look at that scripture in the book of Jude. It says in there, well, and I'm paraphrasing again, we're going to stand before him faultless. It says faultless. We'll stand before God in the judgment one day faultless. Think about this. We'll stand before God at the judgment. A perfect soul will be reunited with that perfect body, and we're going to be perfect. Now, I was raised around some people, and God bless them. They just didn't think about it. But I was raised around some people, and they thought when we get the judgment, that's when we find out we're saved or lost. And if the good outweighed the bad, and I think about that every time I see some bananas at the grocery store where they're weighed at. And they believed, honestly, they believed in being saved like we do, but they also believed that it was possible that if maybe you didn't live hardly good enough, you might not make it. I'm not depending upon my works, good or bad, to get me to heaven. It's totally and wholly because of that experience that I had on August 13th, 1973. But I'll stand before God one day, faultless, that's what it is, before the throne of his glory, Jude says. We'll stand before him a perfect individual. No, we're not perfect now. I've got some trouble with this right here sometimes to some of y'all. I got some trouble with this flesh and blood many times. And this flesh and blood, what was created anew when we get saved, lives eternally forever. And upon the death of this body, unless Jesus comes back first, this soul immediately at death will go to that heavenly country. If you're unsaved, then your soul goes to that place called hell. That body and the bodies in these cemeteries were waiting one day until God tells his son, go bring my children home. And when he says that time will be no more, the graves will open. The people that have been cremated, those in the seas and wherever they may be, and God will take care of those things. And we'll all have a body likened unto what Jesus had one day after a while. And we'll stand before, I'm not going to stand there worrying about whether I'm saved or lost. I'm going to stand there to be judged for deeds done the body, the scripture says. And what we need to do is try to put in the bank, so to speak, while we live, good deeds and good things, because I'm wanting rewards one day in heaven. A lot of people, from what the Bible says, are going to get to heaven so as by fire. What's that mean? By the skin of their teeth. One of you, Brother Dan, you may have more rewards than I do in heaven. I don't know about that, but I'll be satisfied with what I've got, and you will be too. But that adoption of this body, we're talking about the body now, the body will be changed and we'll have a body, as I said, that's what Romans 8 says, will be conformed to the image of his son and we'll have a body just like Jesus has. We will be like him, the Bible tells us. And so, and I used to think about this end of time thing, this is my opinion, I used to think the end of time is something you could sit out in the yard, watch happen, you know. It would happen, the moon turned to blood and all these events. I believe that could happen quicker, you could blink your eye if God so desires and probably will. The events that I know, and I'm not the best student of prophecy, the events that I know relating the end of time could happen very, very rapidly if God so desired to. I don't know that. But we're going to have a body one day just like Jesus. And then we're going to get on a cloud with him. The Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That scripture in John that I hear at the funeral home many times, John's 14. I'm going to shut up just a minute. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus has went, I think what he's done, the brethren talked about, it's going to be a new heaven, new earth, and there he is. There's going to be. I think he's went, and that's another discussion of the time. I believe he's went to prepare a special place for the church there. And I think the church will have special significance in heaven. I believe the people, and I don't know. Now, there's some folks that I know. I hope I know I'm saved, and I hope I'll be part of this bride we talk about. I don't know that for sure. And there's people says they do, and God bless them if they do. But I don't know that. But I do believe I have a desire to do that. But I believe that that holy city is going to be a place that Jesus has went to prepare for his church to be in. And from what the scripture says, it's also my belief that the saved will have access in and out of that city. Some of you may be working Bowling Green or wherever it may be, but if you live out in the country, you have access to Bowling Green, for example. But he's went to prepare a special place for that church. And ever how it is, and there's different opinions on what it is, it's going to be beyond anything we've ever imagined or we've ever thought about. It's going to be a wonderful time one day after a while. But we ought to have desire to want to be in that. I call it the elite bunch. The elite bunch. We ought to have desire to want to do that. But while we live here, we're adopted in the family of God by repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm the son of Joe and Barbara Swaffer, and although they're gone, there's nothing that changed that relationship. No matter what happens. By the same token, I'm God's child and God's son, and there's not enough devils in hell that can do anything about that because I'm kept and sealed by the power of God. The Primitive Quartet sings a song called I'm No Longer an Orphan. I'm not no longer an orphan. And I appreciate God's made provisions for us. Aren't you glad that he has? Appreciate this opportunity to be here this evening. Thank you again.